Welcome to the autumn 2018 edition of Community Health, caring for you close to home, provided by the Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. From birth to death, we're here. When my daughter recently turned 18, it seemed a really long time since I'd left the hospital with my £5, 12-ounce bundle of joy, terrified about how to be a mum, how to feed her, and how to know if she had enough milk and wasn't still hungry. That's why the peer supporters we meet in this issue are so important. They can provide that reassurance and advice and know when it may be useful to speak to your health visitor. I wish initiatives like that had been around when I became a mum. And what a brilliant idea a project called Empowering Parents, Empowering Communities is, enabling parents to help others who may be struggling a bit with the early years. I definitely could have used that help. In some ways, this is an addition looking at two extremes, as we talk to parents of young children, but also to families and carers with a loved one near the end of their life. Gemma Stenbridge's grandfather died just before he was 81. She tells us about the comfort she found from our community nurses, who provided his care, and how her granddad David was able to die in a place of his choice. Then there's Cooper demonstrating how a dog can make all the difference at a Kent school, as well as the Ratcliffe family, featuring four incredibly loved children with very complex needs. Also in this issue of Community Health, you can find out about our performance in 2017-18 and read about the work of our governors and the difference they are making. Enjoy, Faye. From the editor, Faye Sinclair. 01622 211947, or email faye.sinclair1@nhs.net. Features: fighting infection, working to reduce urinary tract infections. Where's the instruction manual? Help for new parents. A medical marvel, helping one woman with multiple health conditions. We are family. Meet one family with four very special children. A perfect partnership. How Labrador Cooper helps the school health team. End of life care. Supporting people to die where they want. Helping people manage their health. Reducing unnecessary visits to A&E. If you would like to advertise in this magazine, please phone Charlotte Morgan on 01622 211 940. Write to us at Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, The Oast, Hermitage Court, Hermitage Lane, Barming, Maidstone, Kent ME16 9NT. The team: Editor-in-Chief Julia Rogers, 01622 211 946. Email juliarogers1@nhs.net. News editor Chloe Crouch. Designers Julie Bignall, Neville Raven and Peter Mahoney. Contributors Joe Trahani, Anna Hind and Beverly Bryant. Your shout. We love it when you tell us what you think. There are many ways you can feedback to help us improve services or get involved. Joy of driving saved, thanks to South East Drivability. Following an injury to my right foot, my consultant and doctor told me I could not drive until my foot had healed. It was taking an age to recover fully. I live on my own away from any bus routes. My daughter, who works for your trust, came across information about what you offer at Pevensey on an outreach basis. My first contact with your staff at Maidstone was pure joy. They listened carefully to my problem, and before I knew it, I was on my way to Pevensey to see your occupational therapist and an approved instructor for an initial assessment. I had a brief trial in one of your adapted cars. The joy of driving again was quite overwhelming. Their recommendation was that I should receive lessons for left foot driving of automatic cars to be followed by a practical examination. The bonus was, in addition to ensuring I was proficient with my left foot, they ironed out a number of bad habits I had picked up in 50 years of driving. I passed the assessment and, on receiving a very well-prepared report, passed it to the DVLA. Please accept my sincere thanks to all of you, a splendid team doing a wonderful job. Roger Ricketts, 73 East Sussex. NHS Diversity. I wanted to say how much I enjoyed reading the summer edition of Community Health. I particularly enjoyed reading about all the NHS heroes. It was good to be reminded just how diverse the people and the jobs are in the NHS. The health timelines were fascinating. I couldn't believe it was back in 1965 that TV cigarette ads were banned. It doesn't seem possible that I have been alive longer than the NHS. I was encouraged by the report of the new apprenticeship nurse training scheme, in a way similar to how I trained all those years ago. Janet Renton, by email. Want to be in the know? Join our 6,000 plus followers on Facebook and keep up to date with our latest news as it happens. Search Facebook at Kent Community Health and come and join our social community. Prefer Twitter? You can find us on at NHS Kent CHFT. Thanks to Ashford Community Nursing Team for care in final days. Thanking all your excellent kind nurses who recently cared for my mother, Mrs. Brett, who sadly passed away in June. My mother received excellent care from your team. It was first class and delivered with compassion and cheerfulness. She was so grateful to them all. Pamela Bragg, Ashford. Get involved. Want to have your say? Patient Advice and Liaison Service, PALS, phone 0300 123 1807. Text 07899 903499. Email kentchft.pals@nhs.net. Want to volunteer for us? To find out more about volunteering with us, contact Maria on 01474 360 508. Email maria.swaby@nhs.net. Want to become a member? If you'd like to become a member of our trust, visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/membership and fill in the online form. You can also phone 01233 667 827 or email kcht.membership@nhs.net.
Community Health News, our innovative way to train new nurses. An academy offering two training programmes for people eager to join Kent's Army of Nurses has proven incredibly popular since its launch. Our Nursing Academy is offering a four-year degree-level course for anyone who wants to become a registered nurse. There is also a shorter two-year course to become an associate nurse. The courses are an innovative route into nursing, enabling people to learn while they earn and combine work-based and academic learning while being employed as a healthcare assistant for KCHFT. There is no cost to the student. Both courses are fully accredited by the Open University and are thought to be the first of their kind in the UK to be hosted by a community NHS trust. Chief Nurse Ali Karuth said, "As one of the largest community trusts in the UK, we can offer an unparalleled opportunity for caring individuals to gain vital experience in a wide variety of clinical disciplines. Our community hospitals take patients with a number of clinical conditions and needs, and our district teams see people with these conditions in their own homes or in local care homes. Our services are nurse and therapy led, which means we can treat our patients holistically and establish a relationship with them, their carers and their families. We trust our nursing teams to take decisions in the best interests of patients, and because of this, they become exceptional all-round clinicians." More information can be found at www.kentcommunityhealthacademy.co.uk. Want to be part of the nursing revolution? If you like the idea of an NHS team that is self-managing, shares responsibility, makes decisions together and is helping to shape the future of community nursing and social care, you may want to get involved with a four-year project set up to do just that. We've been busy recruiting for Transforming Integrated Care in the Community, TICC, a programme to change the face of community care, guided by the principles of Bertzorg. Bertzorg is an exciting, innovative nurse-led model of care that revolutionised community care in the Netherlands. Founded by Jos de Blok in 2006, it's based on small self-managing teams who spend at least 60% of their time with patients. It has improved outcomes for patients, provided a rewarding and empowering career for nurses, and generated savings of 40% to the Dutch healthcare system. Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, along with Kent County Council and Medway Community Healthcare, was granted €4.8 million of European funding to trial this model. We've already been recruiting for Edenbridge and will soon be looking for people to join in East Kent too. Find out more at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/TICC. Immunisation Service for Children. Our contract to deliver immunisations to all children from birth to 19 years old in Kent and Medway is underway. The Immunisation Service will be working closely with school nurses, health visitors, schools, GPs, children, young people and their families to deliver a friendly and safe service. Immunisations will be delivered in schools and community clinics. If you think your child has missed any of their immunisations or you are unsure of their vaccination history, please check with their GP. More information at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/IMMS. Improving Health Together. Sharing learning and knowledge across a range of public, voluntary and private sector services is the aim of a group in Thanet. Called Health and Business in Thanet, HABIT, the idea is that representatives from the NHS, including Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, and other organisations such as Kent Fire and Rescue and Thanet Volunteer Bureau, work with private businesses, for example Waitrose, Saga and East Kent and Dover Chamber of Commerce, to share best practice to promote health and well-being in education, training, business and employment. In KCHFT's case, this is very much around One You, the national and Kent-wide public health campaign, which works to encourage people to lead healthier lifestyles. Members of the team gave a presentation to group members to demonstrate what support was available. Apple Tree is blooming marvellous. A project designed to make sure reasonable adjustments are made when a person with learning disabilities needs an appointment at a sexual health clinic has been officially launched. Apple Tree is the name of the project, and the term acts as a trigger. By asking for Apple Tree, the person taking the call in the Sexual Health Central Booking Line office immediately knows the caller needs a double appointment, allowing them extra time. The person attending the clinic may also need information in easy-read formats, an early appointment and a follow-up appointment, rather than the standard text. They may also need to be referred to the Community Learning Disability Service for extra support. Apple Tree is available in Dartford, Gravesham, Swanley, Swale, Medway and East Kent. Learning disability nurse Lynn McKay said, "It was important the project was client-led and it has been from day one. It was essential those on the focus group had experience of attending a sexual health clinic and the name Apple Tree was their suggestion too." Jill Goodis, Deputy Head of Clinical Sexual Health Services, North Kent and Medway, said, "This has enabled our two services to work together to make sure people with a learning disability are able to easily attend a sexual health clinic. For some people, sexual health can be an embarrassing subject, but it's so important everyone has the opportunity to educate themselves and stay safe." Rachel Tickner, 42, from Folkestone, an Apple Tree service user and member of the focus group, said, "It's a really good service and I enjoyed being part of it." A film of how Apple Tree works can be seen at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/LD. Legacy giving can transform lives. Heron Ward in Herne Bay Hospital will be getting a new lease of life, thanks in part to a generous legacy donation to our charity iCare from the Myrmecides family, who previously lived in the town. The ward at the Queen Victoria Memorial Hospital will have a complete revamp to enable our nursing teams to focus on physiotherapy and rehabilitation for our patients. It will also be made dementia-friendly, with new decoration and signage. Community Services Director Jane Kendall said, "Community hospital care is rapidly transforming and is now very focused on rehabilitation and therapy to help our patients get home safely and sooner. The changes to Heron Ward will reflect this new approach, with easier access to physio and occupational therapy facilities and a complete overhaul of our day room to encourage patients to get up and dressed while they are staying with us, as we know how important this is to their recovery. This project could not have been considered without the very generous legacy left to us by the Myrmecides family." The refurbishments at Herne Bay will be underway by October 2018, and we hope to have them finished and ready for our first patients by the summer of 2019. How will you be remembered? Many people don't realise they can continue to help the NHS after they die by leaving a legacy in their will. Our charity, iCare, provides funds for services or medical items that contribute to patient care or colleagues' well-being, such as improvements to a community hospital like Herne Bay, equipment to enhance patient care, or something simple like a thank you party for our army of volunteers. Here we take a look at what your local NHS is up to, from the Future for Stroke services to people's views about places where they could access physical and mental health services, social care and well-being in one place. Feedback to shape stroke service decision. Earlier this year, health commissioners ran a public consultation on proposals to improve urgent stroke care across Kent and Medway. The consultation spanned 10 clinical commissioning groups, CCGs, including two CCGs that border Kent and Medway, Bexley in South East London and the high-wheeled area of East Sussex. It ran from the 2nd of February 2018 to the 20th of April 2018 and asked for people's views on proposals to create new 24/7 hyper-acute stroke units in Kent and Medway. Patricia Davis, Director of Acute Strategy, said, "We would like to thank everyone who took the time to contribute to the consultation. We had a fantastic response. All the comments have been reviewed by an independent research company, which has produced a detailed report for the Joint Committee of Clinical Commissioning Groups, which is leading the review. No decisions have been made yet. We will be carefully considering all the feedback from the consultation as part of developing a detailed document called the Decision-Making Business Case. We are aiming to have everything ready for the Joint Committee to make a final decision in the autumn of 2018. You can find the report at www.kentonmedway.nhs.uk/stroke. Find out more about the way the NHS, social care and public health in Kent and Medway are working together by signing up for a regular newsletter at www.kentonmedway.nhs.uk. Reducing your risk of stroke. Healthy lifestyle choices like giving up smoking, eating well and getting enough exercise can significantly reduce your risk of stroke and other serious illnesses. Find out about support services at www.oneukent.co.uk and www.bettermedway.co.uk. Thousands have say on local care. Thousands of people in West Kent have been giving their views about local care hubs, buildings where people could access physical health, mental health, social care and wellbeing services in one place with staff working together. NHS West Kent Clinical Commissioning Group, CCG, held a workshop in April to test the ideas with its partners, including NHS organisations, social care, public health and the district and borough councils. During April, May and June, we discussed the concept with community groups, running roadshows at popular events including Tunbridge Food Festival, and reaching out to people including lone parents, socially disadvantaged families, black and minority ethnic women and organisations, armed forces veterans and gypsies and travellers. In June and July, there were three events in Tunbridge, Maidstone and Sevenoaks to find out whether local people feel there is a need for hubs, and if so, what services they would like to see in them, and their thoughts on travel and locations. More than 250 people attended, giving some really useful feedback. The CCG also ran an online survey and in community hospitals until mid-July to understand the journeys patients make to attend their NHS appointments. There was feedback from more than 3,000 people. The CCG's governing body is going to review the feasibility of hubs based on all the work so far. If given the go-ahead, work will start to look at where these hubs should be and what they will provide. Further engagement and consultation will be carried out where necessary.
News nuggets, what you might have missed. Let's keep antibiotics working. Do you really need to take antibiotics? That's the message during World Antibiotics Awareness Week this winter. Overuse is putting us all at risk. Taking antibiotics when you don't need them can lead to antibiotic resistance, and antibiotic-resistant infections are more complex and harder to treat. KCHFT's lead pharmacist, Ruth Brown, explained, "Antibiotics aren't always the answer. The overuse of antibiotics means they're becoming less effective and some strains of bacteria are becoming resistant to them. Common viral infections such as colds, sore throats and most coughs will clear up on their own and with a little help from over-the-counter medication that you can get from your local pharmacist. Bacterial infections may need treatment to avoid sepsis." World Antibiotic Awareness Week runs from the 12th to the 18th of November. Find your nearest pharmacy at www.nhs.uk. Physiotherapy changes. The way our physiotherapy service is delivered in Swale changes from the 1st of October. Services will be centralised at Sheppey Hospital because demand is greater there. Instead of a full-time base at Sittingbourne Memorial Hospital, we will operate a clinic there 2 days a week. We're cyber savvy. Our commitment to keeping systems and information cyber safe and secure has been recognised nationally with the award of Cyber Essentials First Tier Certification, supporting our work to always make sure patient information is safe. Cyber Essentials is a government-backed scheme based on 5 technical controls. Secure your internet connection. Secure your devices and software. Control access to your data and services. Protect from viruses and other malware. Keep your devices and software up to date. Our IT team is now working towards Cyber Essentials Plus certification. Let's discuss dementia. We'll be kicking off our annual meeting this year with a dementia roadshow and a chance for you to meet and greet some of our experts. Join us at the Village Hotel, Castle View, Forstall Road, Sandling, Maidstone ME14 3AQ from 4pm until 7:30pm on Thursday the 27th of September. We will bring together organisations that support people affected by dementia from 4pm to 6pm. Anyone attending can join 2.5 million people across the UK and become a dementia friend. From 6:15 to 7:30pm, we will talk about our achievements and innovations during the past year. Find out more at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/AGM. There is free parking at the hotel. Maidstone East train station is a 5-minute drive or a 45-minute walk. For Maidstone West, it is a 7-minute drive and 50-minute walk. There is a bus stop nearby in Forstall Road. Meet the innovators. We are proud of the innovative approach lots of our teams always take at KCHFT to support patients, clients and service users. Here's what we have been up to. Because I'm Worth It. A partnership designed to improve the confidence of teenage girls in care in Thanet has been such a success it may now roll out across Kent and expand to include teenage boys. I looked after children, LAC Nursing Service, which promotes the health and well-being of young people in care, teamed up with Virtual School Kent, VSK, and the Beauty Department at Canterbury College to improve the self-esteem and opportunities available to girls aged 12 to 17. The course was for girls in care and identified by VSK as being at risk of loneliness, exploitation or harm, or not in employment, education or training. The I'm Worth It group ran for 6 weeks and offered the girls a safe place to discuss any concerns or worries with a health professional while being treated to a different beauty treatment each week. The sessions were themed to improve understanding of what a healthy lifestyle looks like and included information on healthy relationships, drugs and alcohol, healthy eating, how to reduce feelings of stress and anxiety with mindfulness, and sexual health advice. Looked after children's nurse Jill Sam said, "We know how crucial confidence and self-esteem is to young people in terms of their ability to engage with education or find meaningful employment. This course was about learning to build relationships, improve social skills, and understand what it means to be part of a group. A lot of these girls would never have had a hair or beauty treatment before. We wanted them to feel valued and understand they have potential. They were given a small gift each week and we made sure they had a certificate once they had completed the course. For such a short course, it was amazing how quickly the team started to see positive changes in the girls." LAC nurse Tanya Spain said, "When the girls first came in, you could see they were nervous and hesitant. The environment was new to them, and for some of the girls, building trust with peers and adults can be difficult. After a few weeks, they were really chatty and formed some lovely friendships. It was wonderful to see." For 16-year-old Laura, the course was life-changing. At the start, Laura was not attending school at all and was resistant to any professional involvement. By the end of the course, her social and personal skills improved dramatically and she is now consistently attending school part-time. She has applied to Canterbury College for further education. Meet our new infant feeding coordinators. New parents who are struggling in the early days of breastfeeding can get help, advice and support from their health visitor, a volunteer peer supporter or a breastfeeding champion. The people coordinating all these roles are our new infant feeding coordinators, Bex Galbraith, Corina Weatherhill and Kathy Tullett. These are new roles, so a lot of our work in the early days is focused on making sure we meet as many of our colleagues and volunteers as possible, said Bex, a former community nursery nurse who has responsibility for Thanet and South Kent. On a practical level, we will be providing mentoring and supervision to peer supporters and ensure rotas and training are up to date so they can concentrate on doing what they do best, supporting mums to breastfeed. We will also work closely with health visiting teams to make sure they are giving the most appropriate advice. Corina is a former maternity nurse with a wealth of relevant experience. I've been a volunteer peer supporter in the past, as has Bex, so we have essential first-hand knowledge of the role and why it's so crucial to new mums. The new infant feeding coordinators will be working closely with children's centres to encourage new mums to volunteer as peer supporters and deliver training. Find out more at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/kentbaby.
Ask the experts. Something you need a little bit of advice about? Our team of experts can answer all your questions. Our expert, Nicola Le Prevost. Nicola qualified as a registered nurse in Bristol, moving to Guernsey to work in the island's main hospital. Returning to Kent in the 1980s, Nicola began her career in community nursing, qualifying as a district nurse and practice teacher working in Bromley. Her interest in end-of-life care began 30 years ago when hospices were in their infancy. Nicola joined the hospice team based at Orpington Hospital. She went on to work at Eleanor and Pilgrim's Hospices, holding a number of posts, including clinical nurse specialist, clinical manager and education lead. Nicola set up a day hospice, developed a lymphedema service and implemented the only hospice at home in East Kent. Nicola has also been involved in research projects, teaching and studying for an MSc in palliative care at King's College London. Now Nicola is KCHFT's end-of-life care consultant. She is passionate about patient and family care in the community, supporting people who wish to die at home to achieve this. 500,000 people die in England each year. Around 70% of people would prefer to die at home. 50% actually die in hospital. Why we need to talk about dying. When is it too soon to think about where you want to die? Although it is up to us all as individuals, our expert explains why we should be more open about dying. Question: What is end-of-life care? End-of-life care tends to refer to the care provided during the last year of life for someone who has a life-limiting or life-threatening illness, whatever the diagnosis. This includes the last weeks, days and hours of someone's life. Many people, including health and social care workers, are not always aware that end-of-life can be up to a year or even longer. It is about providing opportunities to discuss matters important to people who are facing limited life expectancy, allowing time to plan and make choices, ensuring symptoms are managed and that people and those important to them are supported. It is really important to behave and communicate in an open and honest manner about reaching this time in someone's illness, so they are as prepared as possible. Question: What role do families, carers play? Those who are important to the person play a supportive and practical role in caring during this time. This can be anything from providing emotional and psychological support to the person to providing all their physical care. Some families and carers may be very clear about what they can and cannot do and their own wishes for involvement, while others will continue to provide more and more care as needed and may be reluctant to ask for assistance. Care has to be given to those supporting patients so they do not become overburdened and exhausted. It is also really important to know their own individual wishes for the end-of-life care that is being planned and incorporate this with the patients. Question: Why is it important to be prepared for what you want at the end of your life? For some people, there are issues which need to be resolved, plans for family and affairs that require planning, so that everything is left in the best possible shape. For others, it is about leaving their affairs sorted and ensuring their own wishes for care and dying are met. Some people are still setting themselves goals and, for example, have family events they wish to take part in and want to ensure that these plans are in place. If others aren't aware of someone's wishes, they cannot make sure that these are supported if the person is unable to share the information. Question: How is KCHFT involved in end-of-life care? A patient's wishes and choices are paramount to the support and shape of care they receive from KCHFT and other partner organisations. Several of the trust services are likely to be involved in providing care and support, including community nursing, community hospitals, therapy services such as physiotherapy, occupational therapy, and the nutrition and dietetics service. They work together to make sure patients are supported to achieve their choices in place of care and dying, and their work includes supporting those important to the patient. Our staff will refer to partner organisations where appropriate, so patients and those important to them are receiving the correct levels of support and access to those who can provide more specialised care when required. Question: When should I start thinking about my end-of-life care? It is never too early to plan for the future and have your own wishes documented and shared. This does not have to be at the time of knowing your own life expectancy is limited, but does make sure that should something unexpectedly happen, your personal wishes are recorded and shared. Your choices can be changed in response to any changes in personal circumstances. Question: Why do you think talking about death remains a difficult subject? As a society, we've become less engaged with our own awareness of death and look to medicine to be curative and life-extending, regarding death almost as failure. We don't experience death as much as we grow up, and the observation of rites associated with death is now very contained. Conversely, there has been a move to publicly mourn tragic and iconic deaths, and so promote immortalisation of memories. Many health and social care workers have difficulty in discussing death and dying with patients and those important to them. Often this is because discussion about death and dying is emotive and emotions are released, so our colleagues can find this difficult to manage. Concerned they are upsetting people. The Dying Matters campaign runs every spring. It aims to promote more open discussion about death and dying among the community, but also provides a wealth of resources to aid conversations and provide support in bereavement and to people who are supporting someone who is dying. Need more advice? Visit our website www.kentcht.nhs.uk/end of life.
Fighting infection. Calling time on dehydration. A pilot to assess and improve a person's level of hydration by looking at their risk of dehydration launches this autumn as part of a national push to reduce bloodstream infections by 50% by 2021. It is part of continuing work by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust and East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust to reduce urinary tract infections, UTIs. Assistant Director for Infection Prevention and Control, Lisa White, said, "A person should be aiming to have at least 8 drinks a day, so following an assessment of our patient's normal drinking habits, they will be provided with information on hydration and given a document with pictures of drinks for them to cross off every time they drink in a day. We can monitor what fluids are being consumed and make sure people are drinking enough to stay hydrated and avoid UTIs." The work is part of a national drive to reduce bloodstream infections, sepsis, commonly caused by bacteria found in the gut resulting from UTIs. More than 45% of all sepsis cases caused by these organisms are known to have developed from a UTI. The national aim is to have reduced these bloodstream infections by 50% by 2021. And so, prevention is a key part of the East Kent NHS Improvement Collaborative. Deputy Head of Infection Prevention and Control, Rowena Chilvers, said, "We really want patients, their relatives and carers to be more aware that UTIs can be prevented and they are not always associated with healthcare, such as a catheter. A key element is around personal hygiene," Rowena said. "It is really important to keep yourself clean, wash your genitals every day as well as before sex. Also, wipe from front to back after going to the toilet and empty your bladder after sex." This work is on top of the Houdini assessment tool, which KCHFT has been using for the past few months. This includes reminding healthcare professionals about the need to remove a catheter as soon as possible and continuing assessment while it is in place. Thousands of people in Kent live with a urinary catheter, a tube inserted into a person's bladder to help them wee. Infections can be common and can lead to a stay in hospital. Our community hospitals already have bladder scanners, and more are being introduced for our community nursing teams. These machines help find out how much wee is left in the bladder after someone has gone to the toilet. It's all about preventing UTIs. Did you know UTIs are more common in women than men? UTIs are the second largest single group of healthcare-associated infections in the UK, making up 20% of all infections people develop in hospital. If you develop a UTI, you may have a pain or burning sensation when having a wee. A need to wee often, pain in the lower stomach, cloudy wee or blood in your wee, wee that is unusually smelly and back pain. Phone 111 or speak to your GP for advice and treatment. Find out more at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/UTI. Where's the instruction manual? Babies don't come with user guides, but there's plenty of help out there for new parents in Kent, as Joe Trahani found out. Health visitors, infant feeding coordinators, breastfeeding peer supporters, when your baby comes along, there's an army of people ready and willing to help you. Vicky Horsey is just one of 150 women who provide an invaluable service to new mums across Kent. Mum of two, Vicky, is a breastfeeding peer supporter, a trained volunteer providing help and advice to families which are struggling with breastfeeding. "I became involved after having my son William, who's now 6, explained Vicky, 34. I really wanted to breastfeed him and my plan was to do that. But unfortunately, I had gestational diabetes and William had low blood sugar when he was born. The first priority of the health professionals looking after us was to get his blood sugar to the right level, and I wasn't given any support or help to breastfeed. I couldn't get him to latch properly either, so we ended up giving him formula milk. When he was about one, I saw they were offering training to people to be breastfeeding peer supporters. As I had my own experience with wanting to breastfeed and not being able to, I thought I'd like to help others in the same situation. There just wasn't any help for me, so I wanted to make sure others received the help they needed. Peer supporters are trained to give breastfeeding mums support and encouragement. They also help by giving information to parents to help solve common breastfeeding problems, such as correct positioning. They receive training in listening skills and dispelling breastfeeding myths. Vicky thinks breastfeeding peer supporters are essential to the community. There aren't enough specialist professionals to see everyone who has a problem with breastfeeding, but we are able to help with the really common issues that people experience, and then the specialist can deal with the more complex cases. For instance, if they come into the clinic and say, "My baby's feeding all the time," we can let them know that's perfectly normal for babies to go through a stage of feeding a lot and they're doing well. So we can triage, listen to the mums and help where we can. When daughter Sophie came along 3 years after her brother, Vicky felt much more prepared. I knew what I was doing, what to expect and where to get help. I immediately knew from the first feed that something wasn't right. I saw a specialist when she was 4 days old who diagnosed a severe tongue tie and it was snipped 2 days later. It wasn't plain sailing by any means, but I persevered and I still do night feeds 3 years later. A lot of the time it's reassurance and encouragement mums really need. Sometimes it can be a really easy fix. I remember one mum who was really struggling, finding breastfeeding painful and was ready to give up. All it needed was just a tiny positioning tweak and it was all sorted. It was a real eureka moment. I'm sure I would have given up without support from health visitors. Meeting Maxine Weldon, it's hard to believe the confident, chatty mum of one needed professional help from the NHS health visitors when her son James was born. Health visitors offer a service to everyone, regardless of need, but when someone needs extra support, they're always there to turn to. And that's what Maxine and husband Greg experienced. "We'd been trying and trying for a baby," explains 45-year-old Maxine from Sevenoaks. "I thought at the age of 36 and being reasonably fit and healthy, it would be easy to get pregnant. After a few years, we began to try IVF treatment. I also had a number of miscarriages, but when I got pregnant with James, I just knew this time it was going to be fine." And it was. Maxine gave birth to baby James in May 2017 at Pembury Hospital, where she described the care as fantastic. However, when James was just a few days old, Maxine found herself worrying about his development. "I was trying to breastfeed him, but I honestly didn't have a clue what I was doing. I had no idea if he was latched on properly or getting enough milk. He just seemed to fall asleep all the time when I was feeding him." Maxine visited a breastfeeding drop-in session at a local children's centre, Spring House in Sevenoaks. "The volunteer peer supporters were incredible. They were kind, patient, and gave me all the reassurance I needed to carry on breastfeeding. There's so much conflicting advice on the internet. It's so hard to know what to believe. Just being able to talk things through with a real person was amazing. I'm sure I would have given up without their support, but thanks to them, and with more advice from the health visitor, I was reassured that I was doing the right thing." Like most first-time parents, Maxine and Greg also struggled with getting enough sleep, which can have a huge impact on emotional health. "When James was around 4 or 5 months, I went along to a healthy child clinic and saw a lovely health visitor. I was so tired and feeling overwhelmed by everything. James wouldn't nap during the day unless he was in his buggy, and I was exhausted. I was only there to get him weighed, but I burst into tears." The health visitor couldn't have been kinder. She reassured me that I was doing well and boosted my confidence. She gave me some practical advice and I felt better about everything straight away. Returning to her full-time job as a HR director for a London construction company also presented a challenge to Maxine. James was exclusively breastfed and had never taken a bottle, not even express breast milk. I had no idea how the nursery was going to manage. So I called the health visiting duty helpline for advice. Claire answered, and she could not have been kinder or more supportive. Again, she gave me reassurance and practical strategies to help James and me to adjust. I called again when I needed help with weaning him off the breast at bedtime, and once more they were fantastic, kind, reassuring and non-judgmental. All the tips I got paid off, and James now eats well, sleeps well and is a lovely, calm baby. The health visitors deliver common sense advice with compassion, and their help is available right on your doorstep. We're privileged to have these wonderful professionals as part of our community. Learning by numbers. Christy Wright, 30, from Gravesend, has 5 daughters, and by the time little Aria, 10 months, came along, she thought she would have all the answers. She said Aria had tongue tie and acid reflux, which my health visitor Becky quickly spotted and made a referral. We've had a lot of challenges as a family, and Becky has really helped us. She supported me when I left an abusive relationship, liaised with social services and my GP, and put me on the right path. All the health visitors have helped us so much. I have been on a freedom programme and in a recovery group for survivors of domestic abuse, and now I'm learning how to support and empower other mums through the EPEC programme. We used to stay indoors all the time. I felt like a nobody. But we're like a new family now, as we've all been helped through difficult times with support from the health visitors. My older daughters, Shanice, Elise, Electra and Willow, used to be quiet and withdrawn. Now they are confident and chatty. A bit too chatty sometimes. Empowering patients, empowering communities. A group of mums are now sharing tips and advice. Helping others, gaining new skills, getting parenting advice and making friends. That's what 9 brilliant mums from Gravesend have experienced while completing a new programme called Empowering Parents, Empowering Communities, EPEC, with a little help from the NHS. It's part of a national pilot and one of just 8 similar courses around the UK. Health visitor Becky Allen, who helped to set it up at the New Beginnings Children's Centre with colleagues Mo Taylor and Vicky Williams, explained the theory behind the programme, which aims to enable parents to help others who might be struggling with the early years. She said EPEC is a parent-led peer support course which not only teaches parents vital techniques to deal with common childhood challenges, it empowers them to then deliver messages to other parents. Our 9 graduates will be able to spread the message in their own community. We're aiming to have reached 100 families this time next year. The course covers discipline and alternatives to smacking, the importance of taking time for yourself, directive and non-directive play and reflective listening, all vital skills for new parents. Becky said all parents, no matter how experienced, can benefit from a parenting course. The vision is that these 9 mums are pioneers. Their experiences will be evaluated and fed back to the national programme, coordinated by King's College London. We're giving the power to parents to change their communities for the better. Louise Sanford, mum to daughter Paige 3, said, I'm a feminist, so empowering other women was my main motivation for coming on the course. I've learnt loads. Mum of 2, Victoria Adisa, went along with daughter Osaratin 4 months. As a new mum, I thought it would be good to be a better parent. Every week the course gave me new skills and coping mechanisms. Peer support is the most important thing. We learn from each other. Dana Vardi Caffeini attends the group with her 2 sons, Caden 2 and Levine 5 months. She said, this has really built my confidence up and helped me to support my children. I have made a lot of changes in my approach to parenting. The health visitors have been fantastic. Emma Melvin experienced postnatal depression when daughter Matilda, 17 months, was born. She said, my health visitor Vicky recommended I do the course. I've learned a lot and it's given me back my confidence. I really enjoy leading the groups and it's reaffirmed some of my knowledge. Find out more about all our work at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/kentbaby.
Every day is a struggle, but it's also a blessing. Living with one life-limiting condition is enough. But for Zoe Escudia Davis, the list of health problems she deals with is mind-boggling. Chloe Crouch spent time with Zoe and her husband to find out how one of our services provides some relief and how we could all learn a lesson or two from this rare lady. Zoe is a sneaky one. To look at her, she is a bubbly, beautiful picture of health. Her big smile and warm personality do not reveal the constant pain, discomfort and danger she lives with, thanks to the multiple life-limiting conditions she has. Despite feeling poorly her whole life and knowing there was always something wrong, it has been a long road for the 34-year-old from Margate, who was finally diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS, a few years ago. EDS affects the joints, and Zoe's dislocate daily. It also causes problems with her internal organs, which are failing. Around the same time, she was also diagnosed with hyperandrogenic postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, POTS, which affects her nervous system. It means standing up causes her heart rate and blood pressure to rocket, leaving Zoe at risk of a stroke at any time. She regularly passes out if she moves to her feet too quickly, and has been using a wheelchair for the past 3 years. And the list continues. She has a hole in the heart as well as faulty valves that push unoxygenated blood around her body. Heart arrhythmias lead to a pacemaker being fitted last year, and she also has asthma, fibromyalgia, and mast cell activation syndrome, which can lead to anaphylaxis, or her body going into an allergic shock. Bad lung function means Zoe cannot lie down, so she must sleep sitting up, and she is at risk of hypoxic seizures, so relies on life support machines at night. It is not unusual for her husband Carl to have to perform CPR to keep her alive. Zoe said, "I have good days and bad days, and I try to do things on the days when I feel half human, and on the other days I am sat on the sofa all day contemplating how these conditions have stripped me of everything I am, my job, my confidence, my identity. My life has been turned upside down and the consultants don't know what lies ahead, only that there is no cure for any of the conditions I have, and with time they will get worse." She is quite literally a medical marvel. Her conditions are so unusual that she has been signed up to the 100,000 Genomes Project for people with rare diseases. But it's the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome that underlies everything. In 2016, her gastroenterologist told Zoe she has gastroparesis, which means her stomach is partially paralysed. She can only eat soft or liquid food, and soon she may well need a feeding tube. She has an overly enlarged colon, which does not function properly, and made going to the toilet with any dignity or pain-free an impossibility. Zoe said, "There are a number of things my husband has to do for me, but frankly, everyone wants to have a poo in private. I had tried everything. I even had surgery to help ease the problem, but had got to the point that I was too afraid to leave the house and would be doubled over in pain." Step up Caroline Knott, bladder and bowel specialist nurse from our continence service. After a thorough assessment where Caroline realised Zoe had tried most of the conventional solutions, she recommended a manual irrigation pump. The equipment pushes water through your bottom up into your colon to help break down the waste and flush it out. However, there was another problem. Because of Zoe's weak joints, every time she tried to use the manual pump, her fingers would dislocate, making a painful situation even worse. Caroline fought for Zoe to be able to have a solution that gave a better quality of life and sourced an irrigation pump that was more suitable. She said, "It's given me back a little bit of independence, and to me that's priceless. It relieves the pain and means I still retain my dignity when I go to the loo. It means on my good days I can go out again and I'm not anxious about what will happen if I need the toilet." The most incredible thing about Zoe is not the 30-plus medications she has to take a day to keep alive, but her overwhelming and stubborn resilience, positivity, and ability to make fun of herself. "I've got really bad genes," laughed Zoe. "I shouldn't still be here, but I am, so I'm making the most out of it." And what a year she has had. Refusing to allow her conditions to define her, Zoe has married the love of her life, Carl, during a dream cruise to Hawaii, and has several other trips lined up as they plan to see the world together. She said, I told him when I started to get really poorly that this wasn't what he'd signed up for, and although it broke my heart, I told him to leave. But he loves me unconditionally, and there was no chance he was leaving. He has saved my life in so many ways, so many times. He is my lifeline, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Carl. But it's not hard to see that life is a real challenge for Zoe and Carl, who lives in constant worry for his wife. In true Zoe style, however, she reverts to her positive thinking. Every day is a struggle, but it's also a blessing. I have to fight for my life, but we all have our fights. My motto is, every day may not be good, but there is something good in every day. For me, that's Carl. Kent Continence Service. This is a nurse and physiotherapy service providing clinical advice, support and information to patients and carers on continence and how to treat and manage symptoms of bladder and bowel dysfunction. The service works to improve the lives of patients even when symptoms cannot be treated. Nurse and physiotherapy specialists assess patients in a clinic local to their home or at home if the patient is housebound. You can be referred by your GP or healthcare professional or go online to find out more. www.kentcht.nhs.uk/continence.
We are family. It's no easy task having one child with significant needs, but how about four? For Gary and Carl Ratcliffe, it's no big deal. It's just who they are. It's their family. Chloe Crouch went to meet the family that redefines the word special. When Gary and Carl Ratcliffe decided to start their family, they were the first gay male couple to foster through Kent County Council. This fact isn't even the start of what makes this Sheppey family special. At first, Gary and Carl were looking to adopt just one child, Hayden, who came to them as a foster placement when he was six. Since then, the Ratcliffes have adopted three more children, who all have significant health conditions. Hayden, now 14, has cerebral palsy, is blind in one eye, a full-time wheelchair user, is incontinent and does not have the full use of one of his arms. Shortly after Hayden joined them, they got the call that another little boy with significant health problems needed a placement, and Curtis joined the family. That was 7 years ago, and they have since had sisters Bella and Phoebe join their family too. Curtis has complex disabilities and was not expected to live past his first birthday. He will be 8 this year. He's a full-time wheelchair user, also has cerebral palsy, is registered blind, non-verbally communicative, and has sleep apnea and several other health challenges. Bella, 11, has Down syndrome, developmental delay, learning disabilities, is incontinent and is visually impaired. Phoebe, 6, is in mainstream school but has suffered with post-traumatic stress disorder and sleeping issues as a result of neglect in her early childhood. Full-time dad Kyle said, "We didn't originally intend to adopt four children, and when we got the call about Bella and Phoebe, we were actually expecting them to ask us to foster two other boys. We didn't expect two pink ones, but there was no way we were risking separating two sisters, which could have happened if they hadn't come to us." Hayden, Curtis and Bella are all supported by our children's community nursing team, community paediatric service, paediatric audiology, speech and language therapy, bladder and bowel team, as well as a number of other community and social care services. Aside from the physical health needs of their children, all four had difficult starts and came from homes where their birth parents could not look after them. Gary and Kyle have inherited the emotional and mental fallout from this, and caring for the children proved to be a 24-hour challenge in the beginning. "We were barely getting any sleep at first," said Gary, who is an executive head teacher for three schools in North Kent. "Curtis needs round-the-clock care, and the girls would often wake up with night terrors of bedwetting issues. It was non-stop. We were like ships in the night, and we knew we needed some help." Another problem they encountered was space. If you recognise the Ratcliffes but aren't sure why, it's because they were the stars of a DIY SOS TV episode in 2016, which saw their house levelled and a new one built from scratch in just 9 days. It was the biggest build the team had ever taken on, but it changed the family's life. Gary said, "When the girls arrived, we had to convert a cupboard in our old house into their bedroom. We just didn't have enough space for our family, and with all the equipment we needed for the children, it was fast becoming impossible." Their house, which also sits on their small holding and is home to a number of animals, is now a sanctuary for the family, and it's hard to imagine just how difficult it must have been in the early days. At home, the children now have their own space and some independence, which is especially important for teenager Hayden. There are still plenty of challenges. The list of hospital and doctor's appointments is endless, and sometimes the system just isn't cut out to support the needs of a special family like this one. But both Gary and Kyle are aware of how much support their family receives. What's most important to us is that our children are seen as individuals and not just patients, because they each have their own personalities and needs, said Kyle. The community teams have always tried to put our children at the centre of their care, building the service around them. We couldn't ask for any more than that. What is community paediatrics? Our community paediatrics team investigates, diagnoses and helps children with neurodevelopmental disorders such as cerebral palsy, developmental delay, autistic spectrum disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and muscular dystrophy. Your child needs to be referred by a GP or healthcare professional to use this service.
The perfect partnership. As W.C. Fields once said, you should never work with children or animals. But Mr. Fields never met our dedicated school public health team. Chloe Crouch met one of our school staff nurses who was using Man's Best Friend to make a big difference to students at Goldwyn School in Ashford. It may seem just a memory now, but it was during the hottest week of this summer's heatwave that I travelled to Goldwyn School near Greatchart in Ashford to meet school staff nurse Ginnell Wood and her trusty companion Cooper. While we were wilting a little in the high temperatures, the heat didn't seem to affect Cooper's enthusiasm as he joyfully greeted us in the medical room that has been developed to support the school health team. Cooper is a beautiful black Labrador who belongs to the school's deputy head teacher, Nick Petrie, and is training to be a therapy dog. He is a permanent fixture at the school for children aged 11 to 16, whose social, emotional and mental health needs require more support than a mainstream school can offer. But it wasn't until recently that Cooper partnered up with KCHFT's Ginnell to really make a difference to the health and well-being of Goldwyn students. Ginnell runs a drop-in clinic at the school once a week, where students know they can speak to her about anything that might be worrying them, from self-harm and bereavement to sexual health questions. Wearing her bright green polo shirt, the students have affectionately nicknamed the school health team the Green Tops, and they know the polo shirt represents a safe person for them to talk to and ask questions. If no one knocks on her office door during clinic time, Ginnell walks the corridors of the school during lunchtime with Cooper by her side, and he acts as the perfect icebreaker. Ginnell said, "I found walking around with Cooper gives students a chance to come and talk to me under the pretense of saying hello to him first. He is a reassuring presence and helps to calm students down so they are able to talk and let me know what they are worried about. He is such a friendly dog and is making it easier for me to do my job. If a student wants to talk to me, we go for a walk around the field. They feel safe and know that what we are going to talk about is private, and that's really important for building trust." School nurse team coordinator Chris Beer said, "What Ginnell has achieved here with Goldwyn School is really special. The school has been so welcoming and considers Ginnell a member of the team. It's a great partnership and it's having really positive outcomes for the children." We have a saying for this school, "No green top, no entry," because we know how important it is that young people feel they can trust their school nurse. Whether it's Ginnell or someone else from their team, and if they are wearing our uniform, then students know they are there to help. One of the many devoted Cooper fans at the school is 15-year-old David from Ashford. David enjoys taking Cooper for a walk every day and said, "When I'm annoyed or frustrated, walking Cooper really helps to calm me down. I think it's really good that we have a dog at our school. Every school should have one." Deputy head of the school, Nick Petrie, said, "Having Ginnell in the school gives students access to a really important service, and having Cooper accompany her means they can access health advice without feeling intimidated. We needed something a bit different for our school environment, and this has really worked. It's a great partnership." Web address, www.kentyouthhealth.nhs.uk. Phone 0300 123 4496. Email nem-tr.kentchildrenandyoungpeoplehealthservices@nhs.net. Have you met your school nurse? Our school public health teams work to improve the general health and well-being of children, young people and their families to support children to get the best start in life. The service is available from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday to Friday, including during school holidays. It is for children and young people who are school age, between the ages of 4 and 19. You do not need to be in mainstream education to seek our support. If you are homeschooled or in a pupil referral unit, you can use our service.
Making the end bearable. Death is inevitable. If a person shares their wishes about what they want, it can make it easier for loved ones and bring comfort to them. Faye Sinclair finds out why excellent end-of-life care is so important. Grandad was a truly remarkable man, and we are lucky to have had him in our lives. He never complained about anything, even when he was in pain, and the care the community nurses gave him when he was nearing the end of his life was first class. Those are the words of Gemma Stenbridge, 32, from Margate, who lost her grandfather David McCarthy shortly before his 81st birthday. It is a loss she, her mum Susan and sister Claire are still coming to terms with. Knowing he received good quality care from KCHFT's Thanet community nursing team and that they were on hand to answer any questions the family had during his last weeks is something trainee mechanic Gemma is thankful for and will never forget. The mum of two said the nurses were so patient, explaining everything that was happening. When mum misunderstood something, they talked her through it and gave great comfort to us all. They were there so often, twice a day, every day, and nothing was too much trouble for them. Widower David had worked as a welder and as a chef in the army. He lived in Sittingbourne until he moved to Margate to live initially with Gemma and then in nearby assisted living in Broadstairs. The London-born West Ham fan had a number of debilitating conditions, including Alzheimer's. He had suffered from cancer, had open-heart surgery and continuing heart problems, eventually dying from organ failure. We were able to be with Grandad when he passed and everyone was so supportive. He had been in palliative care for quite a long time and we got to know the staff at Bradstow Court really well. They all used to have a laugh with him and it was the same with the community nurses when they stepped in. Rachel, one of the nurses, even helped us afterwards to get some of Grandad's things returned and chased up the death certificate for us. Nothing was too much trouble for them. We knew it was the right time because it was explained to us and he wasn't suffering anymore. They were amazing and he died where he wanted to, Gemma said. Championing end-of-life care. We provide end-of-life care in community hospitals and in people's homes, as well as providing support in care homes. We also have end-of-life champions who volunteer because they have an interest in end-of-life care. Our champions provide a local point of expertise. Champion Ross Jeeps, a sister at Tunbridge Cottage Hospital, said, "I became an end-of-life champion because I'm passionate about end-of-life care. I feel it is so important for us to understand the issues facing our end-of-life patients and their families, as we only have one chance to get it right. Families remember the care their loved ones have received and this gives them comfort in the weeks following their loss. It is just as important to look after the families at what can be a very distressing time." Our focus. During 2017-18, we helped 513 people to die in their preferred place. From 1st of April until 31st of July 2018, that number has been 187. Deputy Chief Nurse Ruth Heron said, "We are passionate about making sure we meet patients and carer needs. We work with partners such as GPs, social care and specialist palliative care organisations, providing end-of-life care to people of all ages." Always learning. A project to help understanding of end-of-life issues in homes supporting people with learning disabilities has proven really successful. led by senior community learning disability nurse Ros Chapman and Tracy Rose, and supported by KCHFT's end-of-life nurse consultant Nicola Le Provost, training was created to improve that understanding. Delivered together by Pilgrims Hospice and our learning disability nursing team, a simple workbook was also developed to complement the training. A snapshot of our year. From the completion of nearly 2,000 health MOTs to a 41% reduction in falls with harm in our community hospitals, 2017-18 was a busy year for us. Here we take a look back at the work of the Trust and our Governors from the 1st of April 2017 to the 31st of March 2018. 97.2% of people who used our services said they would recommend them to family and or friends. Our 4,600 staff had 2.1 million patient contacts. We opened a new high-tech orthotics lab manufacturing custom-made orthotic insoles. 99.84% of people waited less than 4 hours in our minor injury units. 1,978 health MOTs were completed. 97% of 63,912 people were satisfied with the care we provided. Patient safety work resulted in a 41% reduction in falls with harm in our community hospitals. 91% of new mothers received their health visiting check at 6 to 8 weeks. We introduced dementia champions who have extra training to support patients and colleagues. 560 people lost weight working with us, with an average weight loss of 4.2%. Contracts with an overall value of £22.5 million were won by the Trust. Two of these were retained business. We opened a wound medicine centre in Sevenoaks. One new lifestyle advisors saw 2,850 new clients. We were awarded £4.8 million of European funding for a 4-year project to change the face of nursing with our partners. We provided more than 70 services with a budget of £224 million. The time patients needed to be in a community hospital ward decreased to 19.84 days. Our governors. Governors are volunteers who represent you when thinking about health services. They make sure you get the very best service from your NHS and that your voice is heard when the Trust is deciding on future health services. Message from Lead Governor Sonia Big. During the past 12 months, we've been out and about speaking to you about your local health services to get an understanding of your experiences of all organisations that provide health services. There were a few changes to the Council of Governors in 2017-18. We sadly waved goodbye to a few, and no one will be missed more than Joe Naismith, the publicly elected governor for Sevenoaks, who had been with the team from day one. Joe had served with us on the Shadow Council and completed 3 full years as a governor. When her term of office came up for re-election, Joe decided not to stand again. However, she is still supporting us as chair of the League of Friends at Edenbridge Hospital. It has been a busy and productive year, working with you and the Trust to make sure you get the best services possible for you and your family. Out and about with our governors. It was a jam-packed year for our governors as they all rolled up their sleeves to get stuck into their duties. All governors are elected by the public and staff members, and some governors are appointed by local organisations, such as Kent County Council, Age UK, the Kent Head Teacher Association and Kent Universities. All these people give their time freely to make sure you get the very best service from your NHS. In September, we held an event in Sevenoaks called Let's Discuss Diabetes, attended by more than 160 people. A number of services that help people to prevent and control diabetes were on hand to give advice to help people to manage their diabetes effectively. The governors were there alongside members of the public and representatives from other organisations. Joe Naismith, Governor in Sevenoaks at the time, gave a warm welcome to a range of speakers, including Jeff Whittington from Fixing Dad, who had been diagnosed with diabetes, and managed to reduce his symptoms thanks to adopting a healthier lifestyle. This event was held in conjunction with our annual members' meeting and annual general meeting and attracted a great deal of interest and produced some excellent feedback. Governors met our Foundation Trust members and others to see how they felt about our services. They caught up with a cross-section of staff who work hard to provide them. These are tough times financially, so it's essential for governors to understand the challenges staff are experiencing and, just as importantly, appreciate the amazing achievements they have made in improving the lives of people they care for. Governors attended a number of community hospital visits and saw firsthand the way in which staff care deeply for their patients. Hospital environments were found to be very good. The wards, clinics and waiting areas were clean with clear signposting, although some adjustments have been made as a result of visits. Privacy and dignity of care is high up on our agenda. The care of patients with dementia was a large focus for the Trust this year, and the governors were impressed with this work. Governors realised that recruitment and retention of staff is an ongoing challenge, and all NHS staff are feeling some pressure due to staff shortages and increasing workloads. The ever-increasing elderly population and lack of increased funding to compensate are huge challenges for KCHFT staff. Once again, though, the governors praise the dedication of staff who provide services so well despite these challenges. Sonia said, "The council and the governors themselves have benefited hugely from another year of experience. We are committed to ensuring your voice is heard and your interests are always the main consideration." Working in partnership, the first Kent and Medway Governor Network meeting took place this year, a useful event for KCHFT governors to meet governors from East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust, South East Coast Ambulance Trust and Medway Foundation Trust. Governors from these four organisations also enjoyed a successful local conference. A second conference will be held later this year. It's been a busy year. This year your governors also took part in trying to find a new chair for the Trust, as well as the non-executive director appointment process. Appointing the Trust auditors, our We Care programme reviewing services, place visits, formal consultations, the staff awards judging panel, public events and celebrations, and reviewing the Trust's engagement strategy. Governors work behind the scenes in various ways. We meet as a full Council of Governors in public four times a year. We serve on committees of the Council. We get involved in Clinical Commissioning Group, CCG, and local GP patient experience groups. We make connections by meeting with other organisations which provide healthcare to local people. We take part in quality safety visits covering a wide range of services to make sure the Trust is providing safe and quality services in an appropriate environment in a caring and supportive way. Contact us by phoning 01622 211 908 or emailing kcht.governors@nhs.net. You can find out more information about the role governors play and being a member of our Trust at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/governors. Helping people manage their health, reducing unnecessary visits to A&E and GPs by supporting in other ways. Jill Whibley finds her job pretty rewarding, and it's no wonder, as she can see the impact the role is having in giving patients better outcomes and reducing the number of people going to A&E. During the past few months, Coxheath-based Jill has worked with two groups, each involving 25 people identified as being frequent users of emergency services, including A&E, NHS 111 or GPs, when they don't necessarily need to be. Jill, an advanced nurse specialist, said, "I work with people to support and encourage a self-management approach. This includes a variety of approaches such as signposting, advocating for the patient and providing support. The list is endless. It is about what the person wants to achieve rather than what I, as a healthcare professional, want to achieve." Frequent service user manager Jill started in the new role in February last year. initially for 18 months in a project funded by West Kent Clinical Commissioning Group and supported by KCHFT. As a result of the positive patient outcomes from the pilot in West Kent, it's likely to be extended. The work is based on something similar in Blackpool, which has had outstanding results. It's really about supporting people to self-manage, especially those with long-term conditions. We took information collected from the people with the highest attendances in Maidstone and Pembury hospitals, for example, to provide our first people to work with, said Jill. The group involves some with mental health issues, health anxieties, and others with chronic pain or who had been medically undiagnosed, aged from 20 to 80 plus. Jill visits each person at home with their consent and works through a plan for how she can help and they can help themselves. She said, for some people, it is about having contact. We work through to find out what would improve their situation. Establishing trust is really important and discussing what causes a person's crisis. I have been to appointments to support clients, attended a crisis cafe with another because they didn't want to go on their own, cleaned a kitchen because it gave that person a fresh start, and I have walked dogs with clients so they can talk and share. And during it all, I'm not forgetting why this role is so important to the people we are supporting and to our healthcare system. As a result of the pilot, there has been a reduction in the 50 people Jill has worked with unnecessarily accessing services because support has been available in other ways. It has also benefited the NHS financially too. The mum of three grown-up children is now working with her third group. Earlier this year, Jill, who lives in Sittingbourne, was nominated for an RCNI Nursing Award after one of her clients put her forward. She has also been interviewed for The Economist magazine, recognising the importance of the role on a national level. As patient Sarah, who nominated Jill for the Patient's Choice Award, said, I met Jill in February 2017 and have not been back to A&E since then. She's such a good listener. She's flexible, empowering and motivating. Working with Jill, I have significantly reduced self-harming, gaining a promotion at work. In the past, I may have felt I had nowhere to turn. I know I can contact Jill, who is always extremely supportive. I have managed to be at work without a day off sick for 12 months. Thanks to Jill. Your chance to make a difference. Here's why you should become a member today. You get to have a say on local NHS services. If you feel passionately about your local NHS, becoming a member gives you a real opportunity to have your say on how we run your healthcare services. You will get NHS discounts. It's free to join and our members also enjoy discounts, usually reserved for NHS staff, at a wide range of high street stores, restaurants and attractions. You'll be kept up to date with improvements and proposals for local NHS services. You can receive our magazine with lots of news and advice on local health services, as well as information from Kent and Medway STP and other health services. You can be involved as much or as little as you want. As a member, you can choose to take part in surveys, comment on leaflets, come to public meetings to meet your governor, or even stand for election yourself. For further information, please contact the membership office on 01622 667 812 or email kcht.membership@nhs.net. All in a day's work. From health visiting to end-of-life care, the services that KCHFT provides take you from the cradle to the grave. In this feature, we'll be talking to some of our 5,000-strong workforce about what they do and why they do it. I've worked on Elizabeth Ward at Deal Hospital for 8 years now, and I love it. Before that, I was an agency healthcare assistant covering shifts at both acute, main and community hospitals in East Kent. I did a few shifts at Deal and I liked it so much I asked the ward clerk to keep me posted if a permanent role became available. When it did, I was thrilled to get offered the job. It was a big step becoming a full-time member of the team after so many years working as agency staff, but I have no regrets. There are 3 shifts here and I don't mind what shifts I'm doing, although I do enjoy the long days, which start at 7:30 a.m. and finish at 8:30 p.m. I don't mind working nights either. My husband Alan laughs because I have no problem coming home in the morning, dumping my stuff and falling straight into bed to sleep. We're like a family here. There's a lovely feeling about the ward and everyone is so helpful. That was my first impression 8 years ago and it hasn't changed. The matron, Suzanne, is really supportive and that makes all the difference. We all get along with each other and we enjoy regular social nights out too. There are 20 of us going for a curry soon. We work hard but we have fun together. On a regular long shift, I arrive for 7:30 a.m. for a handover from the night staff. And then it's on to breakfast, checking patients' charts, fluids and pills. We offer to help with washing after breakfast and then turn our attention to our paperwork and observations. We check for skin damage and patients' personal needs. It's important that everyone is safe while in our care. The morning is soon gone and then it's lunch and afterwards there's quiet time for patients or we may organise some games and entertainment such as Scrabble or Bingo. Most visitors tend to arrive after lunch too. My afternoons are spent doing observations again before supper is served. As soon as supper is finished, some of our patients want to get ready for bed and I will help them if they want. All the time I'm checking paperwork, patient safety, and before I know it, it's time to hand over to the night team. What I love most about my job is seeing a patient's journey from when they arrive on the ward, nearly bedbound, to when they're ready to go home and they walk right out of here. Getting patients home where they belong is really nice and a great feeling of a job well done. After work, I'll head home to find Alan and make dinner for us before sitting in the garden with a cuppa. After a busy week at work, we both like going for long walks or bike rides at the weekend, always with a spot of lunch included. Christine Hare, Healthcare Assistant. Hashtag is why we do what we do. Hashtag come to community. Hashtag Team KCHFT. Your guide to local minor injury units. We provide more than 60 services across Kent, East Sussex and London to keep you in the best of health. For many of our services, you will need a referral from a GP or other healthcare professional. However, there are services you can contact yourself. Here are some you might find useful. Minor Injuries Units, MIU, run by KCHFT. Cuts or bruises, strains or sprains, or possibly broken bones, you don't need an appointment to pop into one of our minor injury units. Some of our units treat minor illnesses too. Edenbridge and District War Memorial Hospital, Mill Hill, Edenbridge, TN8 5DA. Phone 01732 862 137. 8:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. every day of the year. Closed Christmas Day. X-ray 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Closed between 1 and 2 p.m. Gravesham Community Hospital. Bath Street, Gravesend, DA11 0DG. Phone 01474 360816. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Royal Victoria Hospital, Folkestone. Radnor Park Avenue, Folkestone CT19 5BN. Phone 01303 852727. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Seven Oaks Hospital, Hospital Road, Seven Oaks, TN13 3PG. Phone 01732 470200. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. Sheppey Community Hospital, Plover Road, Minster-on-Sea, ME12 3LT. Phone 01795 879 104. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the year, closed Christmas Day. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. Sittingbourne Memorial Hospital, Bell Road, Sittingbourne, ME10 4DT. Phone 01795 418 300. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sundays, including bank holidays. Victoria Hospital, Deal, London Road, Deal, CT14 9UA. Phone 01304 865 437. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. For more information about MIUs listed here, please visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/MIU. Need waiting times for MIUs and A&Es in East Kent? Download Waitlist from the App Store or Google Play. For information about other health services, go to Health Help Now at www.healthhelpnow-nhs.net. If you need advice or treatment and don't know where to go, please phone 111 before visiting an accident and emergency centre. Your local pharmacist may also be able to advise. You can find details at www.nhs.uk. MIUs run by other providers include Canterbury, Kent and Canterbury Hospital, Ethelbert Road, Canterbury, CT1 3NG. Phone 01227 766 877. Switchboard www.ekhuft.nhs.uk. Open 24 hours a day. X-ray 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Crowborough War Memorial Hospital, Southview Road, Crowborough, TN6 1HB. Phone 01892 603 602. www.sussexcommunity.nhs.uk. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Last booking is at 7:45 p.m. every day of the year. Closed Christmas Day. X-ray 9 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. Monday to Friday. Dover Buckland Hospital, Coombe Valley Road, Dover, CT17 0HD. Phone 01304 222 621. www.ekhuft.nhs.uk. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. Monday to Friday. East Grinstead, Queen Victoria Hospital, Holt Road, East Grinstead, West Sussex, RH19 3DZ. Switchboard 01342 414 000. www.qvh.nhs.uk. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, and 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. bank holidays. Faversham, Faversham Health Centre, Bank Street, Faversham, ME13 8QR. Phone 01795 562 011. www.favershammedicalpractice.nhs.uk. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday. Gillingham, Balmoral Gardens Walking Centre, Balmoral Gardens, Gillingham, ME7 5LF. Phone 01634 331177. www.medwayhealthcarecentre.nhs.uk. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. No X-ray service. Herne Bay, Queen Victoria Memorial Hospital, King Edward Avenue, Herne Bay, Kent, CT6 6EB. Phone 01227 594 700. www.parksurgery.net. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. No X-ray service. Whitstable Estuary View Medical Centre, Borman Way, Whitstable CT53SE. Phone 01227 284309. www.whitstablemedicalpractice.co.uk. 8am to 8pm every day of the year. X-ray 8am to 8pm, Monday to Friday. MIUs operated by GPs include Ashford, Kings North, Kings North Medical Practice, Ashford Road, Kings North, Ashford TN23 3ED. Phone 01233 610 140. www.kingsnorthmedicalpractice.co.uk. 8am to 6:30pm, Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. No X-ray service. Ashford, Willsborough. Willsborough Health Centre, Bentley Road, Willsborough, Ashford, TN24 0HZ. Phone 01233 621 626. www.willsboroughhealthcentre.co.uk. 8am to 6:30pm, Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays and weekends, and no X-ray service. Aylsham. Aylsham Medical Practice, Queen's Road, Aylsham, CT3 3BB. Phone 01304 840415. www.aylshammedicalpractice.co.uk. 8am to 6pm, Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays and weekends, and no X-ray service. Charing. Charing Practice, Surgery Close, Charing, Ashford, TN27 0AW. Phone 01233 714 490. www.charingpractice.co.uk. 8am to 6:30pm, Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays and weekends, and no X-ray service. Ham Street. Ham Street Surgery, Rookins Road, Ham Street, Ashford, TN26 2NJ. Phone 01233 730 190. www.hamstreetsurgery.com. 8am to 6:30pm, Monday to Friday. 9am to 12 noon, Sunday, no X-ray service. Romney Marsh. Orchard House Surgery, Bleak Road, Lydd, Romney Marsh, TN29 9AE. Phone 01797 320 307. www.orchardhousesurgery.nhs.uk. 8am to 6pm Monday to Friday, closed weekends and bank holidays, no X-ray service. Tenterden, Ivy Court Surgery, Tenterden, TN30 6RB. Phone 01580 763 666. www.ivycourtsurgery.co.uk. 8am to 6pm Monday to Friday, 9am to 12 noon Saturday to Sunday, no X-ray service. Woodchurch. Woodchurch Surgery, Front Road, Woodchurch, Ashford, TN26 3SF. Phone 01233 860236. www.woodchurchsurgery.co.uk. 8am to 6pm Monday to Friday, no X-ray service. Y Surgery, Oxenton Road, Y, TN25 5AY. Phone 01233 220699. www.ysurgery.co.uk. 8am to 6pm, Monday to Friday, no X-ray service. Your Directory of Community Services. We provide more than 60 services to keep you in the best of health. For many of our services, you will need a referral from a GP or healthcare professional. However, there are services you can contact yourself. Here are some you might find useful. Children's therapies. Physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech and language therapists, special nurse advisors, key workers and therapy assistants who provide a specialist therapy service for disabled children from birth to 19 years old. You can find full details at www.kentcht.nhs.uk. Customer care team. If you have a comment, complaint or compliment, call the customer care team. Phone 0300 123 1807. Text 07899 903 499. Email kcht.cct@nhs.net. Dental. General dental services provide a full range of NHS dental treatments for patients in a high street setting. Churchill Dental Practice, Ramsgate and New Street Dental Practice, Sandwich. Phone 0300 303 4930. Falls Prevention, East Kent. 12-week prevention and assessment service for anyone at risk of falling or who has fallen. Folkestone and Ashford, phone 01303 854488. Swale, Herne Bay and Whitstable, phone 01875 879193. Thanet, phone 01843 254134. Email kcht.fallskent@nhs.net. Kent Continence Service, advice and support for anyone with bladder and bowel problems. Phone 0300 790 0310. Kent Continence Business Office Product Delivery Service. Phone 0300 123 1955 or 0330 123 4459. Newborn Hearing Screening Programme. This service offers high quality newborn hearing screening and safe and effective assessment for babies in West Kent, Medway and Swale. Phone 0300 123 3071. Physiotherapy. In some areas you can contact the service direct, in others you will need a referral. Call to find out more. Phone 0300 123 0854. Podiatry of foot care. Our podiatry team specialises in foot health, from common foot problems to more complicated conditions needing surgical correction. You need to be referred by a GP or healthcare professional. Phone 0300 123 6756. Toenail cutting service. Starting at £13 per session, we can cut your toenails for you. Ideal for people who find it hard to look after their feet and who are not entitled to this care through the NHS. Please book in advance. Phone 0300 123 1554. www.kentcht.nhs.uk/nails. Sexual health. Worried about symptoms, need contraception or just looking for advice? We run daytime and evening clinics with walk-in and appointment sessions. Services run across Kent. Please contact us for more information. Phone 0300 790 0245. Medway, kchft, .medwaysexualhealth@nhs.net. Kent, kcht.sexualhealthservice@nhs.net. South East Drive Ability. Assessment and advice on driving, car adaptation and car choice for disabled drivers and passengers. Email kcht.sedriveability@nhs.net. Phone 0300 013 4886. Advice for carers. Carers Trust. national charity with a network of partner organisations providing services to carers. Phone 0844 800 4361. Web www.carers.org. Carers UK. Carers UK helps millions of people who look after an older, disabled or seriously ill family member or friend. Phone 0808 808 7777. Web www.carersuk.org. Carers Direct. Confidential information and advice for carers. Phone 0300 123 1053. Web www.nhs.uk/carersdirect. East Kent Carers Consortium provides carer assessment and support services by identifying family carers and arranging for their needs to be assessed, working closely with Carers First and Involve Kent. Web www.eastkentcarers.org.uk. Kent County Council. Find out what help is available for carers. Phone 03000 416161. For emergency support out of hours, phone 03000 419191. Web www.kent.gov.uk. You can also find more help and advice on our website, www.kentcht.nhs.uk/carers. One New Kent. Free services by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. As part of the One New Kent programme, we provide One New Lifestyle Advisors. Small changes can make a big difference, and we can support you to make the changes that will work for you. So whether you want to quit smoking, lose weight, or just generally feel better about life, we can help. One New Smoke Free. Most smokers want to quit, and if you're one of them, we can help. We have clinics and groups at times and days to suit most people. If you can't get to us, we can offer phone appointments or consultations via Skype. You can also get nicotine replacement therapy on prescription. One New Weight Loss. East Kent only. For healthy weight services in West Kent, contact your local borough council. If you want to lose weight and keep it off, you can join one of our One New Weight Loss groups. Sessions are free and cover healthy eating on a budget, portion control, food labelling and getting active. It's based on guidelines from the British Heart Foundation. One New Health Walks. Led by friendly volunteers, health walks are great for people who are recovering from illness or who need an extra bit of motivation to take exercise. They are fun, friendly and free. No need to book. NHS Health Checks. If you're aged 40 to 74, you could be eligible for a free NHS health check. Health checks take just 30 minutes and check your risk of developing heart disease, diabetes or kidney disease in the future. Speak to your GP or call 0300 123 1220 to find a clinic near you. We can also provide checks in the workplace. Email oneu.kent@nhs.net, www.oneukent.org.uk, because there's only one you. And that concludes the reading of the autumn 2018 edition of Community Health, caring for you close to home, provided by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust.